Chapter 95. Oh, they are troublesome things, but they don't trouble me now, said Gwendolyn, turning and nodding playfully. She hardly understood her own feeling in this act toward her sisters, but at any rate she did not wish it to be taken as anything serious. She was glad to have got out of the bedroom without showing more signs of emotion, and she went through the rest of her visit and all the goodbyes with a quiet propriety that made her say to herself sarcastically as she rode away, I think I am making a very good Mrs. Grandcourt. She believed that her husband had gone to Gadsmere that day and inferred this, as he had long ago inferred who were the inmates of what he had described as dog hutch of a place in a black country, and the strange conflict of feeling within her had had the characteristic effect of sending her to offend and with a tightened resolve a form of excitement which was native to her. She wondered at her own contradictions. Why should she feel it bitter to her that Grandcourt showed concern for the beings on whose account she herself was undergoing remorse? Had she not before her marriage inwardly determined to speak and act on their behalf? And since he had lately implied that he wanted to be in town because he was making arrangements about his will, she ought to have been glad of any sign that he kept a conscience awake toward those at Gadsmere. And yet, now that she was a wife, the sense that Grandcourt was gone to Gadsmere was like red heat near a burn. As he had brought on herself this indignity in her own eyes, this humiliation of being doomed to a terrified silence lest her husband should discover with what sort of consciousness he had married him. And as he had said to Deronda, she must go on. After the intense moments of secret hatred toward this husband who from the very first had cowed her, there always came back the spiritual pressure which made submission inevitable. There was no effort at freedoms that would not bring fresh and worse humiliation. Gwendolyn could dare nothing except an impulsive action, least of all could she dare premeditatedly a vague future in which the only certain condition was indignity. In spite of remorse, it still seemed the worst result of her marriage that she should in any way make a spectacle of herself, and her humiliation was lightened by her thinking that only Mrs. Glasher was aware of the fact which caused it. For Gwendolyn had never referred the interview at the Whispering Stones to Lush's agency, her disposition to vague terror investing with shadowy omnipresence any threat of fatal power over her, and so hindering her from imagining plans and channels by which news had been conveyed to the woman who had the poisoning skill of a sorceress. To Gwendolyn's mind the secret lay with Mrs. Glasher, and there were words in the horrible letter which implied that Mrs. Glasher would dread disclosure to the husband, as much as the usurping Mrs. Grandcourt. Something else, too, she thought of as more of a secret from her husband than it really was, namely that suppressed struggle of desperate rebellion which she herself dreaded. Grandcourt could not indeed fully imagine how things affected Gwendolyn. He had no imagination of anything in her but what affected the gratification of his own will, but on this point he had the sensibility which seems like divination. What we see exclusively we are apt to see with some mistake of proportions, and Grandcourt was not likely to be infallible in his judgments concerning this wife who was governed by many shadowy powers, to him non-existent. He magnified her inward resistance, but that did not lessen his satisfaction in the mastery of it. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.